Now we're looking at the second last part. I thought it was going to be the last part, but now we have part 5 and 6. Verses 17 to 21, our title from Proverbs 26, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And we're looking at just the 5 verses 17 to 21. He that passes by and meddles with strife belonging not to him is like one that takes a dog by the ears, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. So is a man that deceives his neighbor and says, "Am not I in sport?" Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And I won't read the rest. These remaining proverbs of chapter 26 have two main themes, the first being the danger of stirring up conflict, which theme is contained in verses 17 to 21. And the second theme I've titled The Harm of, and Consequences of Deceitful Speech, which comprises the last part of the proverb that we'll look at next week, Lord willing. And we just mentioned this in the prayer, but the wars and rumors of wars that are becoming more prevalent in our society are signs of the time. And Christ said, that's the way it's going to be. And he will give us comfort through it. But that's the condition that Christ tells us for our sakes, so that we can learn to hold faith with a good conscience. And it's his faith that can come up in the dispute against brother in this age, which is what this is talking about in these proverbs, the communication, asking the Lord to put a bridle on our tongue, help us, Lord. For all things are for your sakes, even these wars and rumors of wars, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So we have to remember that. It's going to feel like when you're up against
Audio went out.
trials, the way this world is, it's difficult. But
Sounding really
the
bad.
Lord knows that, and he's showing us that. Can
Tony, you're breaking up bad.
hear us now?
Yes, we can.
Goes. Okay. Holding faith and a good conscience, which 1 Timothy 1, verse 19 to 20, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So, blasphemy is connected with not having faith, as we can see, and it's a destructive thing, and it's connected to our subject to some degree. Matthew 10, verse 21 and 22. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents. This is why I inserted this, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, spiritual children, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So if you read that, it's like the Corinthian fornicator. Paul was hopeful that this would be a situation that would turn the situation around. But that doesn't always happen if it's not God's will, if they're not of us. And as it goes on to say, and cause them to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. We know that's for God's word, for his truth. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And that enduring, of course, is through Christ, through whom we can endure all things. This prophecy of Christ, Matthew 24 and Matthew 10, paints a very clear picture for us of what the physical and spiritual landscape of the world is going to look like before our Lord returns, and what it does look like today. And he's telling us to be ready and think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are coming our way and have come our way as his children. These verses tie in well with the subjects at hand in this last section of Proverbs 26. The more mature bad fruit of the man of perdition is cataloged for us in many of the Proverbs we will be looking at. And this 24th chapter of Matthew shows us the evil fruit of this age, the deceptive spirit of mankind that has waxed worse and worse and is setting the stage for the return of our great King. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Many are called, but few are chosen to overcome the man of perdition. That man who can and does deceive you, which is on the throne of mankind's heart. In order for us to see this, we must have the man of perdition destroyed in our own hearts first, by the brightness of Christ's coming into our heavens. Let no man, like he says, or take heed that no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So we really got this verse wrong in the churches of the world because we were looking for someone outside and not seeing it as something within us. And every man. So we try the spirits of every man because any man can have the man of perdition on the throne of their hearts. And what does he do? Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that makes no room for Christ, leaving us with the spirit of Antichrist. Saying that Christ is not, they don't necessarily, someone doesn't tell you, oh, Christ has not entered into the flesh. And no, Antichrist is someone who has not given way and room for Christ to abide within them. And that's of the Lord. So we try those spirits. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time within us. For the mystery of iniquity, self-righteousness, does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. So if God is dealing with us, he's going to deal with that man of perdition. And this is how he deals with him. And that then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. This is continued with Matthew 24 now. So if the Son of Man sets us free, in other words, he'll do it by destroying that man of perdition within us. Matthew 24, verses 6 to 13. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Don't just think wars. Think about what's going on in your life, whatever the Lord is giving us to have to endure. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. When you're hated, when you hate your brother, you have killed your brother. So that's what Christ is telling us. Some may be martyred. But the point is that we will be hated by all men for his name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Look at the many, many, many. And because iniquity, self-righteousness, this is the root cause of all of that hatred and all of that betrayal. Because that's going to abound, iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Philippians 3:9, Paul says this, and just so he put this into focus for us, so we realize, look at this is talking to me. There's an inward application, and be found in him, not having my own iniquity, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, by the faith of Christ. Then down to Matthew 10, verse 21. And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children, which are false doctrines, shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And what this tells us is that we will be fighting false doctrines our whole life and must endure until the end to be saved, these cities being within. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 to 14. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Again, another condition that Christ forewarned. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. We've learned them from Christ and through the body of Christ. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verse 31, verse 32. So on that hopeful note, we'll start with our verses here. The danger of stirring up conflict. Verse 17, he that passes by and meddles with strife belonging not to him is like one that takes a dog by the ears. We are to watch and pray and not lose heart, knowing that God has ordained that the love of many will wax cold at the end of this age. Many will not be given that extra oil for their lamps, but God has determined from the foundation of the world who it is that will endure to the end. By being given that increase, which comes from God, or extra oil that comes from Him. Knowing salvation is a gift from God and understanding the mercy that God has bestowed upon us in this age will help do away with the spirit of conceit. Mark 13, verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. These are the verses that give us great peace. And he spake a parable unto them, Luke 18, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Mark 24, verse 12, and because Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Matthew 25, verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Romans 11, verse 25. So that wasn't their fault. That was ordained of God. Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Our goal as the bride of Christ, as those who are being redeemed of the Lord, is to keep the focus on fulfilling His will as we look to Christ to lead us into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This verse in Psalms 1, verse 1, is the direct opposing thought to he that passes by and meddles with strife belonging not to him is like one that takes a dog by the ears. So blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, as opposed to this, he that passes by and meddles with strife belonging not to him is like one that takes a dog by the ears. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That means deep roots. When the storms and the roars and rumors of wars come, that tree's not going over. That brings forth fruit in his season, spiritual meat in due season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Getting involved with the conflicts of this world happens when we lose sight that we are ambassadors for Christ. We need God's discerning spirit to know how we are to walk in this evil age, circumspectly, wisely, applying our hearts unto wisdom and numbering our days, as those who do not meddle with strife belonging not to him, one that takes a dog by the ears. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. That's our major concern. Lord, help us. And only God can do that as he drags us to Christ and reconciles us through his blood, through Christ's sufferings. And through the body, we're being reconciled together. Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. See then, rather, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So I put in the note here, how do we redeem the time? We read these verses. Take heed, take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to pray, always to pray and not to faint. And Christ is our example. He could have fainted. No, he couldn't have. He prayed, and God put him in that situation, so he had to cry out. And he does the same thing to us. We are as our Lord in that regard. And he says, God will get us through whatever we are brought on to our knees to pray for. He will deliver us. The image of taking a dog by the ears is a parable telling us, if we forcibly cast our pearls on the unbelieving and try to convince those whose ears were intended to be closed, they will turn and rend us. Matthew 7, verse chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So we have to protect the body and protect ourselves from that. Verse 18 and 19, as a madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceives his neighbor and says, am not I in sport? These verses warn about the danger of harming others and then pretending it was only a joke. The proverb compares such a person to a madman throwing firebrands, arrows, and deadly weapons in every direction. The image shows how reckless and destructive this behavior is. God's word is also likened unto a firebrand and arrows. I'll read that quickly. Having a lot of children, Psalms 127:4, to take care of you in your old age is like a warrior with a lot of arrows. That's a positive use. When we think above what is written and take license with God's word, using it carelessly, which we all do, without a second or third witness, until we don't, right? Our good intentions can end up being divisive and spiritually destructive. It's the man who deceives his neighbor with idols wrapped around his heart, who can also carelessly dismiss his lack of judgment and say, "I'm not eye in sport," meaning I was joking, not understanding that carelessly using God's word is not a laughing matter and obviously not something we should do. In the next couple of examples I've given, there is again a connection with doctrine and the need to keep the word of God undefiled. Words spoken in deceptive or cruel humor can cause real damage to relationships, reputations, and hearts. Not that anyone here would do that, but the point is, we're trying to bring these proverbs to life and just show us the world that we're living in. And this is why the world's falling apart, because we've had no regard in the past for God's word, and the world thinks nothing of it. Yet the person responsible may try to escape blame by saying, "I was only joking." Scripture repeatedly teaches that words are powerful and must be used carefully. As Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And careless speech can wound as deeply as physical violence. Repentance is what is needed in a deceived heart in order to fitly frame his words of gold around pictures of silver. Silver representing repentance. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. The Bible gives several examples of this harmful spirit. In Genesis 21, verse 9, Ishmael mocked Isaac, and what may have seemed like ridicule or playful scorn created serious conflict within the family of Abraham. The situation became so severe that Sarah insisted that Ishmael and his mother leave. We know this was all played out this way for our benefit to show us an allegory of the two covenants, the first covenant being represented by the bondwoman Hagar, whose fruit of her womb, her child, or doctrine, represents spiritual bondage. The second covenant, represented by the free woman's son, Isaac, typifies the seed of Christ, or the doctrine of Christ that liberates us if we are blessed to continue in it. The cruel mocking spirit of Ishmael represents the spirit of the law of Moses, which the sons of thunder possessed, and the world today still holds fast to. And all the world, I say it here, because for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Romans 2, verse 14. So that's flesh. It's under some kind of law, whether it's the law of Hammurabi or Moses' law or whatever. Galatians 4, verses 22 to 26. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and enters to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. There's the bondage that the law brings. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. John 8, verse 31 to 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, and they were under the law for sure, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed." We're under the law, and we were never in bondage to any man. "How say you, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides ever," which is a very most encouraging thing he could have said, but they didn't understand what he meant. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." If you're Isaac, if you have that spirit, if you recognize the spiritual Jew. Luke 9, verse 49 and 56. And John answered and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not with us." And Jesus said unto him, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go up to Jerusalem. and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was not as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of." That's the world today, Babylon today. "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. And I'll add to that, like this week we talked about the love and respect that we should have toward God's rejected anointed. And that's the world. They're beloved for the gospel's sake. They just don't know what we know, and the Lord's preparing our hearts to receive them one day. In another example, the Philistines call for Samson to make sport for them in Judges 16, verse 25, mocking him for their entertainment after they had captured him. Their cruel amusement treated a man's sufferings like a joke and ultimately ended in Samson bringing down the temple. In this example, a young man guided Samson's hands toward the pillars so that he could destroy the temple. The young man symbolizes how scripture can guide us into a place where we can destroy the idols of our hearts and destroy those negative pillars that house and hold up the idols of our hearts. And that's what God's doing with the elect. He's blessing us. And this typifies the elect. These verses here that talk about Samson. It came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make a sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house stands, that I may lean upon them." Matthew 18, verse 3. And said, "Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, like this little child leading the hand of Samson, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." That spirit is leading us to the destruction of our old man. Judges 16, verse 30. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people, all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. That makes me think too, where Christ said, "Greater love is no man that he lays down his life and sacrifices." We do that day to day. And if we're faithful in those little things day to day, dying daily, God will take care of the rest. Whatever the end has for us, whatever the Lord has determined our life is going to end, He will be faithful to continue to strengthen us. Likewise, in 2 Kings 2, verses 23 and 24, a group of youths mocked the prophet Elijah, showing Elisha rather, showing how ridicule and disrespect can quickly become a serious sin. Once again, a parable is being shown, and these youths represent false doctrines coming up against God's true prophet and resulted in those youths being destroyed, which is what God is going to do through the church with every false doctrine of Babylon within us. There are many other examples of this spirit, like the 250 men of renown, the whole congregation that rebelled, Aaron and Miriam, all the churches of Asia that turned away from Paul, including Phygellus, Hermogenes, Titus, Crescens, and Demas, and on and on. And I put 1 Corinthians 10, 11 to remind us, and I know we know this, but all these things they were prophesying. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come, the end of the age. 2 Kings 2, verse 23 and 24. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city. Notice he's coming up from Bethel. They mocked him and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. Just horrific. But that again is the law. And very violent, with God showing us what has to happen with the false doctrines within us. They have to be destroyed. The greatest example of cruel mockery is seen in the treatment of Jesus Christ in Matthew 27, verse 27 to 31. Roman soldiers mocked him by dressing him in a robe, placing a crown of thorns on his head, and sarcastically saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Scripture therefore warns believers to avoid speech that disguises cruelty as humor. Instead, our words should build others up, as Ephesians 4:29 teaches. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Verses 20 and 21, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Ceaseth as coals are to the burning coals, the wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. God's elect are being judged in this age with a judgment that is not only burning out the wood, hay, and stubble within us, but also purifying our heavens that have been blessed to have his gold, silver, and precious stones within us being purified. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So it's all the same fire, but the fiery trials of the elect save us in this age, and the lake of fire will save the world in the next. Jeremiah 5, verse 14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. The talebearer within us is destroyed by the brightness of Christ coming into our heavens, and the end result of this action is that the strife ceases, seetheth. 1 Peter 4, 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Why? For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. After we have been cleansed by God's fiery word through fiery trials, and it's a lifetime, we must have all the readiness of mind to then defend the words of life that we've been given, not letting the coals or wood have opportunity to flourish from a contentious man who kindles strife. And that's what we will face more and more at the end of the age. But we'll be ready because the Lord will prepare the bride to deal with every consequence that's coming. 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's that trial that prepares us to go through the heavier trials at the end, the gold, silver, and precious stones being purified, because we've been purified. We've gone through these trials of our faith, and having done all, we can stand. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So how do we redeem the time? And I mentioned this. Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, both within and without, examining ourselves daily, dying daily. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So there can be a means. And that means is to stop having that readiness of mind, to stop praying, to think it's strange that you're going through these fiery trials that God has blessed us with so that we can be shown that we're more than conquerors through him. James 3, verses 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, which ties into our study, no? Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the tongue is fire, is a fire, a world of iniquity, self-righteousness again. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body. The whole church can be defiled by one member and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. May the water of the word put out such fires. Ephesians 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And Job 18, verse 5, yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the harm and consequence of deceitful speech and how, by God's grace and the faith of Christ, we can come to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge and contains all of these spiritual qualities mentioned in James, the book of James, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out. Look at that last part next week. How badly did we?